Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabach.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. The week is over. You made it, folks. You're here. You made it this far. You got through another week. That's a terrible attitude to take. Getting through. Life is not something you get through. It's something you embrace. Right, Conrad?
Exactly.
Can't fake enthusiasm like that. Great to have you with me on this Friday night. Wherever you are joining us from, we are thrilled because we are back. We've been on the stream all week. Now we're back on the app. We're back on the radio. The DNC is over. It was the coverage was incredible here on Civic Media, and we will talk about that at 7:35 with Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. He will be here. We talked to Terry a little bit earlier. We'll play that at 7:35. Terry gave us a rundown of the convention, and I think by most people's standard, it was a pretty good convention. Lots of good speakers. Some good acts. But Terry will be here at 7:35 to discuss, but we are back on. We have a full listenership now, Conrad. We're not competing against other Civic Media shows, which always feels weird, to do, right?
It's great to be back.
It's great to be back. Well said. Peter Nichol is here at 8:05. He is the head. How would you describe Peter's job? Head curdmaster?
He coordinates the event there.
Right.
Yes.
Event coordinator.
Let's say that.
Yes. All right. Event. it's Curd Fest.
Yep.
Coordinator. But is it Madison? It's Madison.
Yeah. Curd Fest. Yep. It is.
2024.
Yep.
Coordinator. Peter will be here at 8:05 to talk about a really fun event taking place at Breece Stevens. I always want to say Reese Witherspoon.
I thought you were going for Reese's.
Reese's is good, too. Can't go wrong with Reese's. Peter will be here at 8:05. Who doesn't love to talk about cheese curds, especially on a Friday night? This is a great night to kick back, have a few cheese curds, watch your favorite TV program, whatever you do on a Friday night. Sit on the porch, watch your neighbors walk by with their dog. It's a beautiful night in Wisconsin. And we've got the guests and the show to prove it. So if we're with you as part of your Friday night, we thank you. And then, big news, it is a bar band Friday night. That's right, folks. Terry Barr from Max Inc. will be here tonight, like she always is on Friday nights at 8:35, to give us a rundown of who is on Max Inc. tomorrow night. And we have a great... Should I tease the guest or not? Yeah, I think I will, because some people probably know this guy. I don't know. What do you think, Conrad?
Tease it.
Trapper Shep. He is the music. His song is what Terry is bringing. And I think he re-recorded a Dylan song. He's sort of a local legend. So we're going to hear more about Trapper tonight from Terry Barr on Bar Band Friday night here on Nightlight. So we're covering all the bases, little politics, more from a production standpoint of how the event came off, not talking politics directly, cheese curds, which I know Terry Barr loves, and some music. So we're going to talk about Ty Burrell's birthday. Ty Burrell, a comedic genius that was on Modern Family. Very funny guy. And tonight's question. All right. In the wake of everything that's been going on, when I write these Hollywood beats for Civic Media, I've had a lot of coverage of Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. They have been in the news constantly. Well, the entertainment news anyway. And they're getting divorced. This is like every Hollywood divorce does this. Oh, they're having problems. Spokesperson comes out. No, they're not. They're totally happy. Oh, they're living apart. Doesn't matter. They're totally happy. Oh, they're getting divorced. Yes, they've decided to part ways. It's just so silly how they report. And nobody cares. Get divorced. Nobody even cares that they got married. But they've been called a Hollywood power couple. So my question to you all tonight is, who is your favorite Hollywood power couple or your most nauseating Hollywood power couple? I would say Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are my favorite Hollywood power couple and my most nauseating. They're my favorite because I got to write about them a lot through this time for the Hollywood Beats. But man, they are annoying. And mostly, some of it's not even their fault. They're just in the news all the time. The gossips, TMZ, they're always reporting on this stuff. Like, he hasn't been home in weeks. Doesn't affect me. But whatever. So that's the question tonight. Who is your favorite Hollywood power couple? And who is your least favorite Hollywood power couple? You can answer one. You can answer both. And as you know, you can comment on anything I'm talking about throughout the course of the show. If Conrad said something you think is really cool, give him a thumbs up. Give him an attaboy.
I would appreciate it.
Why doesn't Facebook use attaboys instead of likes? Attaboy.
That would be awesome.
I want to ask you something, too. I want to get off on a tangent here. Anyway, let me give the number first. That's our question tonight, folks. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. You know, or you can weigh in on the stream or the app. The app is very easy to use. Just click on the little text icon. We're on statewide, so you can let us know what you think about anything we're talking about. This happened on Facebook. I see people post. This is just so silly to me. I had three friends today, and I noticed it with one of them. Posted a temporary profile picture. Thank God they clarified that. Because if they just went ahead and changed it again willy-nilly, I wouldn't know what to do. And then I started looking. I'm like, is it always say that? Like, I just noticed that today. And then I saw two other friends posted temporary profile pictures. And then my other friends that changed their profile pictures just said change their profile picture. What is the point of that?
I don't know. I'm surprised. I didn't even know that was a feature, to be honest.
Well, I'd seen it before, but I never made much of it. But yeah. It's just so silly. It's like, here's a picture of me, but I'm not committing to it. I just want you to know I've got a better picture on the way, so don't get too attached to this one where my head is tilted to the right. I'm going to post another one where my head is tilted to the left, and you can see more of my forehead in a few days.
That baby will be temporary.
Correct. I want to see the permanent Facebook picture. Never change it. Own it, baby. That's the Facebook. I love the Facebook. So also today is, I noticed you updated the sheet here. Internaut Day, is it?
So I had to look into this because I was like, what does this even mean?
Yeah.
But I guess it's getting to know technology, the internet, getting to know what we call the interweb.
Okay.
And just learning about it. That's it.
But it says internaut, like astronaut.
Yeah. Be an astronaut of the internet.
I don't like that word one bit. I didn't either. The temporary profile picture, and I don't like internaut. Let's just have a knot day. Astros, inners, they're all the same. Not astronauts, kind of cooler. It's also National Sponge Cake Day. Are you a fan of the sponge cake?
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's okay. Doesn't really feel like dessert. Feels like you're just sort of, feels like you're eating foam, really.
We've been looking at, you know, the famous days for a while, you know?
Yeah.
It's just so weird that everything you could think of gets a day. And that's why I put that on there.
Yeah, you got to put it on there. But I want deep, heavy devil's food cake. That's a cake. Sponge cake's not really a cake. It's sort of like it's a tease. So there you go. Lots of good stuff happening, though. I can't figure out the other thing, and I know I'm asking the wrong guy. Conrad Krieger, but it's getting to that point in summer where we're not in the dog days. Maybe we passed the dog days. Maybe they're still right around the corner where we'll get some serious heat, but is it still shorts weather? I was getting dressed today. I'm like, God, do I do shorts?
Yeah.
Do I do longs? I don't know. It's kind of we're in that gray area.
I wear shorts until like Halloween. So
you do.
Yeah.
And it's an issue.
I don't know, like my legs just don't get cold until you really feel it, you know?
Yeah. You're like what the Onion calls year round shorts guy. I love that phrase. I couldn't figure it out. I was like, do I go shorts or I'm not putting cords on, but you know, a nice pair of khakis or some casual pants. I've decided I don't wear jeans. I have like three pairs of jeans. I never wear jeans, and I don't think I have for like 20 years.
Really?
That is a scam perpetrated on the American people. Denim is not more comfortable than a casual pant.
Well, definitely not. You can't beat a classic sweatpants.
I'm not talking about sweatpants. It's like the Jerry Seinfeld thing. You know what the message you're conveying with the sweatpants? You're saying, I give up. I can't compete in modern day society. I'm miserable. I might as well be comfortable. Sweats are fine for at home, but I don't, if it comes to going out in public in a jean or a khaki or just a casual pant or a jogger, I find those to be much more comfortable than the heavy kind of denim.
Yeah, I can definitely feel that.
I think this should be a question next week. Jeans, yes or no?
I'm going to have to say yes. I like wearing jeans. I think it adds to an outfit.
Yeah, the look is cool. Yeah. I got no problem with that.
And if you get the right pair, it can be comfy.
Oh, yeah. The right jean is a nice trouser.
Yes.
It's a good slack. My dad still uses the word trousers. I love it.
We should bring that back. That's a great
trousers?
Word.
I think so, too. He told me one time I left their house and I had some work pants. I was just out in the yard working. It was like an old pair of beat up pants. And I was over there talking in their patio and I got home. This is how old school my dad is. This is my dad, my mom, and my sister, four of us talking on the patio. And I get home. He goes, Pete, this is dad. I want to tell you this in front of the others, but there was a small hole near the crotch of your trousers. I'm like, okay, thanks, Dad. I mean, you know. I always wear two pair of pants, so it's not an issue. But I appreciated him pointing it out. So there you go. All right, we're going to talk about Ty Burrell next, and we're going to talk about how you know if you're having a bad day. That is next on Nightlight, and then Terry Bell is coming up at 7:35 to give us a review of the Democratic National Convention. Hey, it's a Friday night, Wisconsin, and we're all hanging out together. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up at 7:35. Peter Nichol is here at 8:05 to talk about CurdFest Madison 2024. He is the event coordinator. Cheese curds, it says, were first recorded in Wisconsin in the 1860s. But you know, I think when we moved to Wisconsin, it was like 1979, and I don't remember cheese curds right away. I feel like cheese curds all of a sudden were a thing in Wisconsin like in the early 80s. I'm probably wrong about that. But it's just like all of a sudden they're a thing.
Yeah.
It's either marketing geniuses or they just kind of like faded for a while and then they came back gangbusters. Maybe Peter will have those answers for us. Sherry is checking in tonight on the stream. She says, hi, friends. Hi, Sherry. Goldie Hawn and her husband can't think of his name. Ha ha. It's Kurt Russell. Sherry, they're a good Hollywood power couple. Yeah. Or no, she's saying no. I don't think she likes them because she said no right after in a separate message. So, okay, I could accept either one of those answers, Sherry. There's a favorite and a not so favorite. I'm not crazy about them either. Although they're not overbearing. You know, they're not out front. I changed my mind. I don't mind Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell because they are not present on every tabloid magazine. Now, they're older, which matters. But even when they were younger, they weren't like this nauseating, let's make out in public. Or, of course, there was no social media back then either. But I don't know. I'm confused. Sherry, I'm going to follow your lead on this one. She says no. So I'll go with Sherry. Sherry doesn't steer us wrong. She says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Steve from Florida says, Goldie Hawn and Kurt. Steve, this is crazy. Conrad, do you think your dad saw Sherry's answer somehow? Or was this parallel thinking? That's incredible.
Are they that good of a couple?
Well, for people that age, yeah. I'd go Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward because they were married for years. Both great actors. Paul Newman, in my opinion, one of the best actors ever and one of my favorites. And just one of the coolest guys ever. So I would say Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward. And there was a great documentary on HBO about the couple. But I think they would be considered a Hollywood power couple. And you can go old school. You can go new. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Welcome back live again. Thank you, Anna. My most favorite Hollywood power couple is Kurt Russell. All right, am I on candy camera here? Is this a joke that all the listeners are playing on me? Anna also says, my favorite Hollywood power couple is Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. My most annoying Hollywood power couple is Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez. Well, you're in luck, Anna. They are no longer a couple, but I totally agree with you. They are just annoying. And I don't even know if they're trying to be. I know J-Lo is a big, I want as much attention as possible to build her brand. I don't think Affleck is like that. He just kind of bugs me for different reasons, but whatever. I'm with you on them, though. And, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell are front of the pack tonight. Jim from Appleton says, happy Friday. Pete and Conrad, welcome back to the airwaves. Thank you, Jim. Jim stuck with us. He gave us some good texts on the, some messages on the stream. Great to have you back, Jim, too. Steve from Florida says, Conrad's grandma says, all-time Hollywood couple back in the day, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Hard to argue with that. I don't even know who their competition would be back then. That's way before my time, but there's still a couple you've heard. Like, you've still heard of them, right, Conrad? No, you haven't even heard of Lucille Ball?
No, I have. Desi Arnaz? I just didn't know that, you know.
Okay.
I didn't know that they were.
Oh, they were.
I know who that is, but.
Yeah. The Lucy Show. Yeah, great answer so far and kind of a consensus with Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. Today is Ty Burrell's birthday. I think this guy is one of the funniest actors. He was on a show called Back to You. It was a Kelsey Grammer show. It only ran for one season. It was not that funny. But Ty Burrell makes anything he is in funnier. He plays Phil Dunphy on Modern Family, and he's just that geeky dad who thinks he's still cool, thinks he's still got it. And there are some classic scenes with Phil. There's one scene in particular where his daughter Haley brings home a boy, and Phil is talking to the camera. This is another one of those mockumentary style shows, was Modern Family. And Phil is looking at the camera and he says, you got to look him in the eye. You got to look down at him, let him know I can dominate you if I have to. And the minute he goes over to meet the kid, he throws his back out and her boyfriend ends up carrying him to the couch. It is absolute gold. And love Phil Dunphy. Just a great character and a great actor. And we have a clip. This is Phil describing his character. This is from the pilot episode. And this is Phil Dunphy, father of three, husband to Claire, talking about his parenting style.
I'm the cool dad. That's my thing. I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face?
Why the face?
That's great.
So great. I love Phil Dunphy. His scenes are great. And his scenes with Gloria, with Jay's wife, played by Sofia Vergara, are so funny. And there was another one too, where there was this woman jogging through the neighborhood and she was divorced and she's wearing this ridiculously revealing outfit that she's jogging in. And Phil's wife is right there. And the woman tells the couple, I just got divorced. And Phil says, what? Who's coconuts enough to divorce you? I mean, great writing too, but Ty Burrell is hilarious. He is a really really great comedic actor. How old is he? 57, was it?
Yep.
Okay. 57. And then there's some cool news coming out too. The summer blockbuster season is kind of winding down, but there's some great stuff right around the corner. There's going to be a new Incredibles movie. And Gladiator 2 comes out in November. And they just announced today, John Wick 5. Now, I'm kind of, I feel like if you see one John Wick, that's enough. I get it. But oh my God, five. Like, have you seen all of them?
I stopped watching after the second one. And my friends went to the theaters to see the fourth one. They described like what, I was like, that sounds like the first two. Glad I didn't go.
Yeah, there was a cool scene. There was a cool stunt scene where he was just driving in a circle, killing hundreds of people at a time. I mean, it was very violent, but the way it was shot was cool. I can appreciate it from a cinematic standpoint, yeah. But I mean, just it's completely silly. And that's how they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, do we need five? I don't know.
Yeah.
Even three. Have a nice trilogy and wrap it up. Gladiator 2, on the other hand, seems pretty cool. Commodus' nephew, who played the actress Connie Nielsen, I can't remember her character name, Lucius, is the new gladiator. He grew up, somehow they make him a gladiator, even though he was sort of royalty in Rome. I'm interested to see how they do that. Ridley Scott, the director, is 86, and Denzel Washington says, still going strong, great energy. So I'm excited for Gladiator 2. Yeah. Gladiator is one of my movies I can't turn off. When it's on, I'm watching at least three segments, you know?
Yeah. I can't wait for the second one. That's going to be a really good movie, yeah. I think.
Agreed. Right before the holidays, it'll be fun. This is great. Great to be back in the air. Great to have you with us tonight on Friday. A Friday night, dwindling Friday night, dwindling summer, I should say. But we're going to enjoy it tonight. A Nightlight. Terry Bell is coming up next with a review of the Democratic National Convention that we spoke about a little bit earlier. And then we're talking cheese curds at 8:05, and it's a Barbie and Friday night at 8:35. Terry Barr will be here. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Friday night edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on a gorgeous night. As most of you know, we were only available this week on the stream. We were competing with ourselves and our excellent political coverage from the DNC in Chicago. And joining us now to give us an overview of what he saw there is Civic Media News Director Terry Bell. Terry, how are you?
Hey, Pete. Good to be here.
I bet you got a good night's sleep last night, maybe, or...
Not necessarily, but no. I will tonight.
As soon as this interview is over, you're just going to sort of flatline, I bet.
Just going straight to bed.
So what can you tell us? What are your overall thoughts about what you saw at the Democratic National Convention? I know you covered the Republican one as well. Mm-hmm. What were the differences like, if there were any? And give us just kind of a sense of what you saw there in Chicago this week.
Well, you know, they were very similar in the fact that after both conventions, the true believers are extremely energized, extremely enthusiastic. We saw that dissipate a bit with the Republicans, and we'll see how this plays out for the Democrats. One thing that did occur to me is that this the energy there in Chicago was probably much more intense than it would have been with Joe Biden. There was an outpouring. Frankly, especially among women and people of color, the excitement about the opportunity they had, you know, they haven't really seen the likes of this sort of phenomenon, you know, since Barack Obama.
Right. That was going to be one of my questions for you. But you said that the Republicans, the energy kind of dissipated. Was that as the convention was winding down or when it was over?
It was after. It was over. I mean, the energy level was high. And the Republican convention was notable because it started just a couple of days after the assassination attempt on Donald Trump.
Right.
And so the first day, everyone was just kind of, you know, a little bit on edge. Things were subdued. But that the energy level increased by the end of that day. To back to where I would expect it to be normal. I don't know what compared to. These were the first conventions I'd ever covered in person. So, and the rest of the way, you know, it was a well-run convention in Milwaukee. I'll have to say that. But it was a little different in Chicago. Things were the enthusiasm, the intensity was at a higher level. There's no question about it.
Was there any, let's talk about the Gus Walls sure. issue. That was pretty amazing to watch. And I'll tell you honestly, before I knew he had any kind of, or that he was nonverbal or had any kind of issue, I thought it was so sweet. And I was just swept up in the moment. And then as it went on, I thought, oh, I wonder, you know, but when it came out later that he was nonverbal and kind of got attacked, was there a reaction? You still had another night of coverage there. Was there a reaction among the news community about the bullying that took place, or was that addressed?
Yeah, the reaction was decisive, and it was all the talk the next day about, you know, what the Republicans and other critics of Democrats had to say about Gus Walls. And it was swift, pretty, you know, the condemnation was universal practically. And in fact, a lot of those commentators who posted things took those posts down, and some even apologized. Here in Wisconsin, we had the case of a conservative Milwaukee radio host, Jay Weber, who probably got the most attention here in Wisconsin for that. And you know, it's too bad that anyone would have to have such a negative reaction, especially talking about kids. Yeah. I mean, the old rule is that, you know, say what you want about the candidates, but leave the families, especially the kids, out of it, you know, whether they're neurodivergent or not.
Did Weber retract anything? I know Ann Coulter did.
He took his tweet down, and then he posted again that he did not realize, and that he said it was a mistake to go after kids. And he said that was a longstanding rule of his that he mistakenly violated in a fit of Twitter fever. And so I'm sure there were even some calls for boycotts, which got retracted. But yeah, I think anybody who came down hard on Gus Walls realizes that they made a tactical mistake, even if they, you know, God forbid, actually believe what they said. They realized that it was a mistake from it was a bad look. Let's say that.
When did I've heard all this talk about since the Gus Walls incident with Tim Walls as well, the way he waves and beta males, when did Fox News become the authority on alpha males? I'm asking you that half kidding and half serious. They bring it up all the time. We're you know.
Well, I mean, I think it's, this is what political discourse has come to with this country. I think it's too bad, but you know, politics, I'm afraid, has always had this element, but especially in recent years, where it's just about, you know, it's like cheering for your favorite football team. You know, it's just, you're going to pick a side and you're going to cheer for them no matter what. And I think this tactic that, you know, there is a certain right way for men to express themselves in a wrong way, I think is not going to play well. I don't think the people who criticized the Walls as that night did their cause any favors.
I agree. And I agree with you on the sports analogy. However, I will also say whenever your team plays someone, like in politics, it's immediate. Like if your team is playing the Seattle Seahawks, it's not, well, they're all pedophiles and crooks. What? like the second a candidate is announced, he's a pedophile. He's a crook. He did this. It's like, how do you even know that? It's been 5 minutes. These are just like go-to words. I know you're a news guy. You report on what you see, but you're a sensible guy too. Can we ever come back from that, Terry?
You know, it's hard to say. There have been moments like this before in the past where one side or the other says, you know, we've taken things too far. We need to dial it back because we're losing the American people. And then the next election cycle comes around again and everybody reads off the exact same playbook. So I'm not, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. If things change dramatically anytime soon.
My guest is Terry Bell. He's the Civic Media News Director, and he just spent 4 days in Chicago. Are you still in Chicago, actually?
No, I am on Madison's lovely west side, enjoying, like you say, a beautiful evening.
All right, perfect. I'm glad to hear that. Who do you think what speeches stood out to you, Terry? Some great speakers.
there were some phenomenal speakers, not only in terms of policy, but in oratory. I'd have to say my favorite was Michelle Obama, just purely from a from someone who critiques public speaking. You know, I teach journalism, and so I followed these things all my life. You just from a standpoint of soaring oratory, and she's so masterful at working a crowd. You know, she can have. You know, she can go from poignant to hilarious on a dime. Right. And that's a real skill. It is hard to do. And, as someone who's done it successfully and who's fallen on his face, it is a real talent, and she has it.
What kind of bump do candidates typically get after a convention? Is there a consensus or a typical bump what kind of bump do you think the Democrats will get if you just had to guess?
That'll be interesting to see. Historically, it's a bump. A post-convention bump is about a 2% rise in the polls. Mm. I think the post-convention bump gets a little bit over. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for? Too much is made of it, I have to say, because I can't imagine anybody stepping into the voting booth on November 5th is going, well, you know, they had a really great convention. You know, right. People are voting because of how they feel about, you know, the state of their life and what they think either one of the two candidates can do about that. That's how.
Yeah. And what about, like, today, Robert Kennedy endorsed Trump. Do you have an idea or estimate about what kind of bump that will give him, or how many percentage points that could play, if any?
I don't think it'll make a big difference. I mean, Kennedy got out of the race for a reason, because he just couldn't muster enough support. So I think anybody who was thinking of voting for Kennedy, it was a very small fraction. And if they go over to Trump, I mean, I shouldn't underestimate it. In an election that's going to be very close, any small swing in momentum one way or the other could make a huge difference. So, but I don't think it'll be. I don't think if Trump wins, it's the Kennedy endorsement that will have done it for him.
Especially when you've got a lot of other Kennedys who are leaning towards Harris.
So. Oh yeah, a lot of the Kennedys actually issued a statement today saying that he doesn't speak for us.
Was there a news row or something at the convention? Was there okay? So. Was there one thing you heard more than anything else from other colleagues about the convention or about a person or anything you heard that was sort of like kind of catching heat?
I think the consensus among the press corps is that the fact that, you know, the astonishment of the energy level, nobody could imagine that if Joe Biden were still the candidate, that the delegates would be as excited as they were. You know, there was a palpable sense of excitement all throughout the convention. And I kept thinking, you know, if you could look into a crystal ball and go back and see if Joe Biden were the candidate, would that be the case? And I really can't imagine that it would be. That said, there was, you know, a lot of expressions of admiration for Joe Biden in the hall. Thank you, Joe, was a chant that came up in a lot of speeches whenever his name was invoked. So, but, you know. Like I say, this is, borderline Obama-esque what's happening. And I don't think it's necessarily for Kamala Harris herself, but I think it's more about what she represents. Mm. And so I think that's a little bit of what's going on there.
Do you remember a convention where so many Republicans or former Republicans or people from an ex-president in a different party's cabinet spoke?
Not this many. There's been precedent for both parties. You've had people who've flipped sides for one reason or another. I mean, I think Joe Lieberman, who ran for vice president as a Democrat, spoke to the Republican convention. And then I remember James Brady, Ronald Reagan's press secretary, who was wounded in one of the assassination attempts on Ronald Reagan, spoke to the Democratic convention. So there's precedent for this kind of thing. I don't think to this extent. I tell you, there was one moment that stopped everybody in their tracks last night, and that's when the Central Park Five to took the stage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, we looked up at that, and somebody commented, oh, boy, they're not messing around.
Yeah. No, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
For those who might not remember, on Central Park 5, they were convicted for a horrific crime they did not commit. And even after the truth came out, Donald Trump was quoted as saying that, you know, they should be punished anyway.
And they were previously. I think they paid the price for it.
Yeah.
So this is great. I appreciate this, Terry. Was there anything that you thought different? Like, in terms of Democrats, you had Clintons, the Obamas, very few ex-politicians or ex-presidents, certainly in the Republican convention. The Bushes weren't there. The Cheneys weren't there. Has anybody talked about that?
Yeah. That's been noted. And I think it's a fair point. And I think it's, you know, it's proof of the fact that the Republican Party has become the party of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a longstanding tradition that, you know, former presidents come to their party's conventions and they throw their support behind the current nominee. And that didn't happen in Milwaukee this year. On the other hand, you had every former Democratic president, save for Jimmy Carter, who's, you know, a bit on in years to be able to go to something like this.
Yeah.
You know, but you had Bill Clinton, you had Barack Obama, you had Joe Biden, the current president, actually.
Right.
So, you know, it's a lot more unity. I have to say the tone is the momentum is on the side of the Democrats right now.
Yeah.
I'm really going to be interested to see the post convention polls when they come out. And I'll be interested to see, you know, how far they can sustain that.
Right.
And, you know, to that end, I think the Democrats did very well.
I'm excited to hear the rest of your coverage throughout the rest of the campaign, Terry. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Get some rest, buddy.
Thanks, Pete.
All right. Have a great night. That's Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, joining us on Nightlight. Welcome back. Good to talk to our old friend, Terry Bell, the news director here at Civic Media. And breezing through a Friday night here, almost done with hour number one. In just a few minutes, we're going to have Peter Nickel, who will be here talking about CurdFest at Madison 2024. That is Sunday from 3 to 6 at Brees Field in Madison. And Peter will be here to give us some more details in just a few minutes. And Conrad, do we have a caller?
No, we don't.
We don't. Okay. So, all right. So here's an interesting thing. You're a big fan of the show, That 70s Show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Very big fan.
It's not quite on the level of How I Met Your Mother.
No, definitely not.
Nothing is with you.
That is true.
But
but I can say I have watched That 70s Show 3 times through now. And I don't know if you've watched
You've watched all of them 3 times through?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you've seen the new It's That 90s Show.
I have not, no.
Don't waste your time.
Is it bad?
Oh, it's terrible. But it's cool they get some cameos from the original cast. But,
okay.
Like, it's bad.
Jeez.
Everything that 70s Show was so good because of their comedy.
Right.
Because of the actors that they had in it. But the new ones are just kind of, I don't know, it feels forced trying to make the jokes. And, yeah.
They always seem to force it. You know, it's just a successful franchise, so they want to keep it rolling and make some more money. But they're rarely as good, at least what I've seen, as the originals. Our question tonight is, who is your favorite or least favorite Hollywood power couple? Let us know on this bar band Friday night. That's right, folks. Terry Barr will be here at 8:35. Terry is one of the hosts, along with Rocker and Jimmy of Max Inc. Radio. Great show every Saturday night here at Civic Media. They broadcast live from Civic Media headquarters in Madison. And they have a great guest on tomorrow night that Terry will tell us all about. And we'll get a little taste of this particular artist's music. And that's coming up at 8:35. Right now, our question of the night is favorite Hollywood power couple or least favorite. So far, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn are sort of our pseudo winners. They're in first place. Jim from Appleton says, I graduated high school in 79. My parents would run to, I don't know that word. Zitau? Z-I-T-A-U. Every week to get fresh cheese curds since I can remember. I think that the fried curds took off in the 80s. Okay, Jim is addressing my question. Yeah, I want to know, and maybe that's what it was. Thank you, Jim, for the text. I think it was probably the curds have probably been around since the 1860s, just those little cheese dealios. But the breaded ones probably, or the fried ones probably became a thing in the 80s. That makes sense because I hadn't heard of those before that. Paula says, Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, Conrad's mom checking in. Paula, have you seen that power couple? Because they are certainly in country music, if not Hollywood, although they were the stars of the show 1883. And they were really good. Two singers, two country music singers that both had really good acting chops in the show. And it was a very good show, a precursor to Yellowstone. From the 3-2-1 favorite Hollywood couple, Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas. That's a great one. This is Conrad's aunt. Conrad, how many aunts do you have? Which aunt? This is Aunt Pam?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Who do you like better, Aunt Pam or Aunt Carla? On the air, feet to the
you
fire.
Put me on the spot.
Who gives better gifts at Christmas time?
I will not say.
Don't answer that. Don't let me believe you. This is Pam Dunkel, YouTube, texting from Civic Media app. Thank you, Pam, for weighing in. That is a great one. Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas. Marlo Thomas, obviously, the daughter of the famous Danny Thomas. A Nepo baby before Nepo babies were cool. And then Pam, So she lives in Florida?
Yes.
You got a big contingency of the Krieger family down in Florida.
Yeah.
Kicking it in Florida. That's fantastic. All right, so yeah, weigh in if you like, folks. What is your favorite? Who is your favorite Hollywood power couple? Or who is your most nauseating or least favorite? I would have to say, I'm going to amend my answer because I'm going to say Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward are probably my all-time favorite. And that were before my time, but I've seen enough Paul Newman movies with Joanne Woodward in them, and they're great. And they were a reasonably normal couple, as I understand it. But I'll say my least favorite, anybody Kim Kardashian dates.
That's a good one.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. She's just my least favorite Hollywood power person. And, probably Affleck and J-Lo, although they're not as, when I think about Kim Kardashian, J-Lo and Ben Lowe go up a little bit, I guess. So, let us know. You can join in. You can text us. You can message us on the stream. Or at 855-752-4842. So some big drops this week. What was it? Oh, Fear the Walking Dead. Are you a Walking Dead fan, Conrad?
I would say I'm not.
Okay. This is weird because that is such a successful franchise, The Walking Dead. It spawned a talk show to air right after the broadcast of the show called Talking Dead. And it was a show just to recap what we had just seen. And it was crazy popular. And they would have people from the show on, famous celebrity people that were just fans of The Walking Dead on to talk about the characters. It was kind of cool to watch. Then Fear the Walking Dead came out. I think that was the first spinoff. And it was not, you know, whereas Walking Dead jumped ahead 30 days and Rick woke up in the hospital. And that was really creepy. Everything had turned. By the grace of God, he was still alive, and he escaped. Fear the Walking Dead, they show you things happening like when the world went to heck. And they show a plane crashing, assuming everybody on the plane turned, including the pilots, and they were all zombies, and the plane goes down in the background, and it was like some cool stuff. But for whatever reason, they killed off a lot of the actors, and they brought on actors from The Walking Dead to take over the show. That show is not making it if it was not part of the Walking Dead family or tent or franchise, whatever you want to call it. An interesting show, but I do watch it. Anyway, it dropped this week in 2015. Check it out if you want. It's another AMC show. We talked Ty Burrell. We're going to talk cheese curds, man. Are you getting hungry?
I think I might have to go get some cheese curds after.
They have a cheese curds and whiskey thing we're going to talk about, too. Ooh. That might get me off the wagon. We're going to talk to Peter Nichols next about Curd Fest 2024. That's in Madison this weekend. And then it's a bar band Friday night. Terry Barr is here at 8:35 with some new cool music. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Right to me with another guy. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now.